Oh, I was struggling there. But we're back with another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. He's Scott Manzi. I'm Alex Turco. And a rare victory Monday for us here as Florida State fans.
Drink to that.
Yeah, too bad we didn't get to watch it together. But I'll say, it feels really good sitting on this couch after the chaos that was this weekend, whether that was the Florida State win at North Carolina or the Bama loss late in the day or late in the evening against Texas A&M. The Fighting Jimbo Fishers surprised me a little bit. Definitely didn't see that coming.
I don't think anybody did.
I mean, with that spread there with both of those games, just looking at what Vegas thought about the game, I don't think anyone thought that those games would go the opposite direction. Maybe close, but not the opposite direction.
Now, there were a lot, starting with the craziness in the early slate of games that was almost completely forgotten about by the night events. I mean, it was just a wild, wacky day of college football, a year in 2021 that is starting to resemble a new version of 2007 on a week-by-week basis. The Iowa Hawkeyes are ranked second in the country. The Cincinnati Bearcats are ranked third in the country. And, oh, by the way, it's been almost that long since a certain team, the Georgia Bulldogs, was ranked number one in the country. They were preseason number one in 08 after a good 07 season, at which they nearly went to a national championship game, and now they're number one again. And this year is just continuing to live up after what I thought was kind of a dud week the week before, games that got billed highly, talked about, Ole Miss, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, didn't live up to expectations. We had some wild and wacky and close ones. But let's start with Florida State. This team, obviously, we're not going to break down X's and O's here, but the key to this is just seeing this group come out with a sense of identity that we were calling for as recently as after week one, even after week two. We said the strength of this team is run the football. Now, granted, there are some pieces that have fallen into play, such as the offensive line getting as healthy as it's been all year that have helped with that, and having Jordan Travis probably as healthy as he's been since week one as well. That has helped with that very much so. But it is a coaching staff, I feel like, that has sort of finally embraced certain aspects of what this team can do well. And with that, I think we've seen kind of a return to this team approaching where its ceiling might be able to be this year.
It was the best called game we've had this whole season, including the Notre Dame game where you saw a close game. We've talked about this many times, but I have sat and yelled at this TV more than I desire to for a once winless, but prior to this, a one-win team, run the football. Trayshawn Ward and Jayshon Corbin are two players that would play on almost any roster anywhere. Mm-hmm. Not saying start, but would play. Mm-hmm. They're good football players. The offensive line is terrible, but they can run block okay. They're not terrible at run blocking. Give those guys the ball any way you can and make it happen. You saw them attempt last week against Syracuse to incorporate that strong running game, even with the little swing passes. I don't love those, but they're trying to get the ball in the hands of their playmakers quick and get them upfield. This week, I saw a lot more. Let's go run right at him and make it happen. And Jordan Travis being willing to run, I know him being healthy, as you mentioned, it's probably the biggest part of that, but he looked much more willing to run and he didn't have to rely on his arm too much. And that way, when he did have to throw the ball,
took the top off the defense,
looked really good.
Yeah. And then that's the big piece. It feels like the coaching staff has said, right, all we heard about all offseason was, hey, Jordan's throwing the football better than he ever has. And it felt like, you know, the beginning of the Notre Dame game, they were like, we're going to make a point to show how Jordan is throwing the ball better. And it didn't work. And eventually they got into doing more of sort of the, I don't want to call it the sloppy football, but like the dig down in the mud type football. And that is what this team is. There's nothing necessarily aesthetically pleasing about it. It's not pretty football. It's certainly a far cry from, say, 2013 and that offense or some of those really advanced Jimbo Fisher offenses. No, they're just going to kind of line it up and run it down your throat. And then when they drop back the pass, a lot of times it's going to turn into a run anyway. It's just sort of how this thing has evolved over the course of the season. And I think Does it have a limit to how effective it can be? Certainly. I mean, if you're able to find a defense that can stymie that some, it's going to be significantly tougher sledding. But for right now, it's nice to see that on a week-in, week-out basis, it feels like this group can go in with an idea of what it wants to do and then work on basically executing that to the best of their abilities.
So let me ask you, what does this mean moving forward? What did this do to change anything, if at all? I mean, there's no way in the beginning of the season, and I said this to you a second ago before we picked up the mics, before the season, UNC was a loss. You could put it in pen. We beat him last year at Doak, embarrassed him, in fact. Huge upset in Doak Campbell. Mike Norvell now being 2-0 against Mack Brown and the UNC Tar Heels. But before the season, we all said, well, they're obviously going to have revenge on their mind and the Tar Heels are going to win that game. Regardless of what you predicted for the season, we all thought the Tar Heels are winning that one. So what do you think now?
I mean, it's funny, right? You sit there and you're like, well, what would the record have been like at this point in the season? Well, probably be this, maybe one more win at this point, if we were being honest. It's been a different path to get there than we anticipated. And this group is ascending, I will say. Now, again, I think there are some limits personnel-wise, a lack of depth to where if there are a couple of key injuries again later in the season that they'll have a hard time bouncing back from just because there's just not people to turn to in those type of situations. But it is encouraging to see how this group is identifying itself, executing. And with that, I think I'll go into most of the rest of the games this year, assuming that this team has at least a puncher's chance. And that's not something that I thought even as recently as last week. Now, I'm going to go into every single one of them, assuming that they could lose by 20 as well, because that is very much while the ceiling has increased, the floor is still pretty low. So we have to be realistic about that. But it is nice to see a group that is working hard, did not quit, is getting healthier right now, good time for a bye, and should be able to easily pick up a third win against UMass coming up in 2 weeks and then roll into the back half of the schedule feeling as good about themselves as they have all year.
Well, that's the fun little game that I'm going to make us play then. Every game is now winnable besides Florida. I struggle to say Clemson because I definitely don't think Florida State's going to win against Clemson. I don't think we win against NC State. I don't really see us going up to Boston College and winning, but I do think we can beat Miami. I take that back. I think we will beat Miami.
Okay. Making Hot an take. Early prediction. There you go.
Wait, can that be my overreaction?
Florida State beats Miami. I mean, sure. Yeah. We'll pencil that.
That's not crazy. I got another one, but
considering Miami's on the verge of firing a coach.
Their coach should be fired. He is pitiful. Derek King's out for the season. They're starting a redshirt freshman who absolutely uninspiring against Virginia, and Virginia's defense is the worst in the ACC. So I'm going to go ahead and chalk that up as a let's wait and see what they do. I think UNC, here's something for my bettees and bettors. I don't know. Sounds like girls and guys, right?
Sure. Yeah.
For those that would like to look at the lines, I don't know what it is yet. I haven't seen. But don't you just feel like no matter what the number is, you should lay it for the Tar Heels bouncing back and beating the Hurricanes this week?
Where is the game?
Doesn't matter. What Hard Rock? The Hard Rock is...
I know. I'm just saying, like, North Carolina basically has been good at home and not good on the road all year, so...
Even though we beat them at home?
I that was their first loss at home. They had hammered teams at home all season, and so, I mean, yeah, granted, it's not like they're going into the snake pit at NC State or playing in...
At North Carolina.
Yeah, okay, then they're definitely...
Lay the number. I don't know what it is yet, but lay it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. It's a team that is fickle along with most of the ACC. I mean, it's just one of those years. The league's not very good. They have up and down
the league deals. Sucks.
I mean,
you got to call it what it is.
Yeah, it's
I agree
not
with you. What you said was a nice way of saying it. It's like, no, they're actually ass. I mean, sorry.
NC State lost to Mississippi State and lost pretty big. Obviously, Clemson has a couple of losses already. It's an enigmatic league at best this year. Which is why if you're starting to figure something out that works and you can build a little consistency, then I would say you're going to be in a decent spot. And that's what Florida State is. And that's what should be the goal going forward. Finding a way to continue to get better at certain things you need to, but then be consistent at the things that you're good at.
Well, I mean, they're certainly working on that. You can at least look week to week and finally say you're seeing some improvements, which means the coaches are working on fixing the problem. And I'm not saying, like, someone listening is probably like, well, obviously the coaches are trying to fix the problem. But look what at we're what talking we dealt about, maybe with Willie Taggart.
Yeah.
There was no physical or visual evidence throughout the season that anything was being addressed.
And it looks this group like was getting
is being put.
This group was on the hot seat. People were talking about, can Florida State afford to fire another coach in less than 2 years or in 2 years? Just a couple of weeks ago. So it's not like we're going to see, I don't think, Mike Norvell getting a contract extension next week, but it is encouraging to see, hopefully, you know, things with the improved play on the field and what is a continued buy-in from the players. I think you're really seeing that. I mean, they gave him a freaking Gatorade bath after the game, even though he explicitly told them not to, as he was like, no.
But
no.
I'm glad he and it was he a smile on his face. Did you see the smile, though?
Yes.
It looked like a true, like, no, guys, don't do it. Let's act like we've been here.
Yes.
But you could tell deep down that win meant so much to him, too, that the second the Powerade hit him, you didn't say Gatorade earlier, did you?
You said Gatorade. I think I did. My
you
fault. Mea culpa.
Oh, my God. Odell Higgins would have your ass right now. But
Nolade.
The Nolade, right? Do you remember that stuff?
Yes.
Oh, my
Came
God.
Came in a can.
I have a Nolade can one, right? somewhere, but I drank it. So it wasn't like...
How many years later?
No, that day.
Oh.
I just kept the can because I was like...
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And then they discontinued it like the next week. I bought it at Garnet and Gold. Nolade. For those of you that don't know, Florida State used to make a Nolade and didn't last long.
No, it's probably like all sport, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So...
But this was the first proof of concept game, it felt like. I think that's why he had this reaction.
But once
they
the
beat
game,
North Carolina last year, but that was a fluke. I mean, there was
Everyone
just like
it was a fluke.
Every ball bounced the right way for Florida State.
That win
literally.
Almost didn't even feel that great because at the end of the game, if you remember, they charged all the way back and dropped some passes to end that drive.
Yeah.
So it felt
still
like,
felt pretty good.
Oh, it felt
in the
great,
moment.
But it felt like you knew
right.
how lucky you
and
were.
And then Florida State turned around and just got spanked the next couple of weeks. And it was like, okay, didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So that's anomaly. What you'd like to see.
You're not.
Where like, okay, you beat a Syracuse. Then you turn around and then you beat a team that's truly better than you. And then you get a bye week and you'll hopefully take care of business against the hottest team in America, UMass. And 1-0 last week, UMass, with their big win over UConn.
So, UConn's coach had COVID. Wish I knew that before I locked in.
Oh, their interim coach.
Yeah, their interim. Because Etzel's obviously gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I wanted to say about that Powerade, when it hit his shoulders, as it's touching him, like the smile on his face was like a kid in a candy store. I felt so good for him. I could just see how much he cares. I just want him to be the right guy so bad.
Yeah.
I had my doubts this whole season, but now I'm like, can we just have a guy, please?
Boy, got to find a way to keep this recruiting class coming in. And then you feel like you've got some positive things going. Hey, what about the rest of what we saw on Saturday? What stood out to you?
So what stood out to me is how good I think Penn State actually is.
Despite the loss.
Despite the loss. Clifford got hurt.
Right.
They were up.
So your team, they win the game if Clifford doesn't go out.
I had Penn State in two separate ways. I was very upset about that. I'm definitely team they win the game if Clifford doesn't go out. They were up, what was it, 13-3 at that moment or 17-3? Maybe 13-3. They were up.
About right,
how about that? So they were up significantly. To score, I think it was a touchdown and a field goal. And he goes out. They couldn't get a first down to save their life the rest of the game. So Iowa had chance after chance after chance. And eventually, you beat on that door long enough and it's going to open. And they did. And that's what happened. I think Iowa's good. That's not to discredit them.
Their defense is phenomenal.
Their defense.
Their offense is...
Leave
something to be desired. Yeah. But it's just funny how the top two teams in the country right now are doing it unquestionably with defense more than offense in an era in which you just don't hear about that very much anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of throwback.
Yeah, I thought that one caught my eye. I like Iowa still. Nothing wrong with Iowa. It's just so funny. You mentioned 2007. This year is so ridiculous that if I can do my overreaction now, can I?
Yeah, let's jump into it.
I don't think Georgia wins the national title either.
Okay, wow.
I don't know who does, but everyone's on this Georgia bandwagon. This year is so crazy and so hectic. Wouldn't surprise me if Bama storms back. It wouldn't surprise me if someone was able to upset Georgia along the way, namely Florida at the end of this month. I've said that for a while. I think Florida's going to be hungry for that one. I just don't think that this year is going to be something predictable. And to tell you the truth, I think that is so fun. We haven't we haven't had that fun parody feel in a while. You know who's hot as hell right now that no one for some reason is talking about? Obviously Cincinnati, but Ohio State.
Yeah.
They're stomping people the way we thought they would.
And looking much more Ohio State on offense.
Their losses to Oregon. They're going to be okay. They're not going anywhere. They'll be in the playoffs too.
We're at a point, really, for the first time since I think the first year of the playoff, where we're actually sitting here about halfway through the year, legitimately debating who's going to be in this thing and throwing out up to 10 teams, maybe.
How about this? Would you take, talking about a clash of styles, clash of strengths, Ohio State versus Iowa in the Big Ten title game? Talking about a fun matchup. Michigan still has to play Ohio State. We got a lot of good football coming down the pipe in the Big Ten.
Speaking of the Big Ten and Michigan, Michigan and Michigan State are both undefeated, and they're on a collision course coming up here soon.
You're right.
I mean, that's going to be the best game in 5 years in that rivalry.
Between those, yeah.
Yeah, sure. And Michigan State's doing it with offense. I mean,
yes,
they're running the ball with a Wake Forest transfer running back and doing it as good as anybody in the country. I mean, he's a Heisman candidate.
What's his name? I won't do it to you. I'll look
LJ
it up.
Something. But he is.
Oh, Michigan State. Oh yeah, yeah. Walker.
Yeah, Walker.
Yeah, Walker yes. The fourth.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Does his first name start with an L?
Kareem.
I don't know. Anyway, he's been great. And then, I mean, really, Michigan's run the football very well for the most part as well. Though they're getting a little more out of the air. We're sitting here right now, and we have no idea what is going to shake out. Remember, I said a couple weeks ago on this program that my overreaction was that there will not be an undefeated national champion this year, and you were like, oh, really? And it sounds like you're a little closer to joining me on that take now.
Yeah, yeah, I'm all the way in on that. I just don't see the way it's not in Ohio State or not in Alabama. I don't see it being an undefeated Georgia. They just have so many games.
Right. All right, there's too many opportunities to lose.
That's the thing. They have Kentucky this weekend. They'll beat them. But then they have Florida. They have an SEC title game.
I mean, they say they'll beat Kentucky.
They have a first round. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to pick Kentucky. I would not put money on – like, I don't think they're going to win the game. But no one gave Texas A&M a puncher's chance. And they come out there and figured out a way to dominate.
Did you see that spread, the opening spread?
Wasn't it like 17 or something?
No. For this upcoming...
Oh, for Georgia-Kentucky?
Georgia-Kentucky. No. It's 22.
Wow. I am tempted. Jeez. That is a very, very big spread. So that's one that has me thinking a little bit. And we'll have to see how it goes. But to that note, this is a year in which, and I think I'll go ahead and take this opportunity to pivot into my overreaction for the week. And mine is one that I think that we're going to have parity on display at the end of the year in the playoff. And I think we have at least two, if not more, brand new first time playoff teams. And that's something that really over the course of the last couple of years, we haven't even begun to sniff or even think about it. Everybody went into the season for the last, it feels like 5 years, saying, all right, Bama, all right, Ohio State, all right, Clemson, all right, Oklahoma, you know, maybe someone else sneaks in. We had a Georgia in 17. We had a Washington in 16. I mean, it's one of those type deals in which we've seen maybe one team crash the party, but really, if you're getting into any year outside of the first year, which really doesn't count, we have never had two fresh faces in the playoff, and I think that's what we're going to get this year, at least.
We've been dying for parity. Yeah. It's long overdue, and finally, it feels like we're getting it. A little relief from the norm, and I just said it. I mean, it may still be that Ohio State or Alabama, or it may be a Georgia. That's still a blue blood, but at least there'll be new faces in there. And I do hope Cincinnati makes it.
Yeah, I mean, that was my take last week that they get in. You know, the one thing I didn't bring up last week was, and what I heard some other people bring up, and I made a mental note to do it, and this is why I got to write things down. I was going to bring up how I thought BYU also had a legitimate argument, but then they go out and got beat by Boise State this past week too. Another major upset. So it was whether it was the Power Five or the Group of Five, there were upsets all over the place this past weekend.
Can we talk about one of my bad beats?
Yeah, go for it.
Texas.
Oh, okay.
Plus
I was going to
3.5.
You had to feel pretty darn good when that turned into a Red River
blowout.
Yeah. What did Spencer or Adam Zucker call it? Or no, it was Matt Berry. He called it a Red River route. That's what he said.
Ooh, I like that.
And when it was 20, what?
28-7.
Yeah.
28-7. And I immediately was like, okay, well, I'm probably going to have to, once it was 35-17, I live bet Oklahoma, because I was like, oh, we all know where this is going. We all know that Texas wants to blow this one. Sure enough, they did. And didn't help me, because I was on the other side. I was on Texas plus 3.5. Here's what sucked the most. Did you watch the ending?
No, I did not see it.
You were busy all day, weren't you?
Yes, I had to work quite a bit. I got to see all the night slate. Okay. And I got to see a decent amount of the was doing a bunch of chores and had the Arkansas Ole Miss game on, and I would have been flipping back and forth, but like that Texas was blowing them out and the Arkansas Ole Miss game was great. So I left it on that.
That was an amazing game. Yeah. That was the main game I was watching with the Ole Miss buddy. But listen to this. So Texas and Oklahoma are now tied. Oklahoma's driving to win the game
with their backup QB.
Golly.
Who is probably now their starting QB.
Way better. I mean, the zip Caleb Williams has on the ball, he had placement on like two or three back shoulder passes where I go, oh, that's a pro pass. And he'd do it the next play. That's a pro pass. Holy smokes.
Say that one five times.
Okay, that's an NFL pass. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. So, a little easier.
I'll stick with that one. But they're driving. They hand the ball to their running back with like whatever, 31 seconds, whatever it was.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, nice. You're going to be in field goal range. They're going to win. I'll hit my money line. I told you I took them on a live bet. So I'm going to hit that live bet and I'm going to hit my Texas original bet. So I was trying to hedge with the live bet. I almost double dipped. And then
he breaks the touchdown.
And then he breaks the freaking touchdown. Scott, if they just kicked a field goal, I would have been sitting pretty. Ooh. But instead, I lose the spread and I hedged a little bit, which was nice, but not as nice as, you know, candy on top or cherry on top. So
that was tough. I hate that for you, bud.
That one hurt. When he busted free, I was like, tackle. I was like, are you serious?
The turf monster.
Yeah.
Get him.
He's running the football. They literally were just trying to run the clock out.
Go down to the one. Kick the field goal. That's a tough one. But you seem to do all right the rest of the day, right? Okay.
Trifecta was 0-3.
Well, yeah. You've taken some heat on that. Late.
It's become a joke. I'm retiring. I will.
Friend of the program, Bods, is going to be disappointed because he can't just automatically fade you.
I had an okay day. That's what hurts the most.
You're just picking the wrong three to showcase.
Oh, man. I'm done with it. I'm not posting my picks anymore.
All right, we're going to retire that for a while, at least a week.
I can't do it anymore. I can't take this. Oh. It hurts me too much. I got to show you these picks. Temple plus 30. I shouldn't have.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, you know what? We all thought, hey, maybe hangover. Nope, Cincinnati's just that good.
So Coastal Carolina is awesome. That was a good one.
They stomp everybody.
Ohio State minus 19. Florida minus 37. I liked that. It was a Ole Miss. Missed that one on the spread. So, yeah, it was one of those days where just –
that was a weird day, gambling and game wise.
I had an okay day, but hey, 8-8 on the pro slate. I mean, come on,
that's pretty good.
Maybe that's what I'll start doing.
Just pro games. Just pivot to pro. Yeah, seems like you've got a better feel on that.
Okay, all right. I won't retire it then.
Folks, it's
we thought
Urban Meyer had the shortest retirement in history, but Alex Turco just retired and unretired the trifecta in the last
five. I was doing it regardless. We all know that. I just wasn't going to let everyone know. But now I'll do NFL.
All right.
Only NFL until I feel good about the
people. You heard it here first, folks.
Feel good about sharing college.
Speaking of the NFL, we had a week that was kind of, I don't want to call it lackluster. It just sort of was what it was. There were not, you know, there's some big results. The Bills over the Chiefs being one of them after the weather delay in Kansas City, just sort of cementing Buffalo's place as the best team, arguably, in the AFC.
Yeah,
I think you had.
And that was a revenge game. I mean, I felt like that was going to be a spot that the Bills go out and win. And then if they end up rematching in the playoffs, it just feels like that story's already written. The Chiefs are going to come back and win in the playoffs.
Chiefs got to figure out a defense, man.
Their defense
is not good. It's not good in the way like last year's that was like opportunistic at times. Mm-hmm. Like they're just flat out not good. And that's a problem because they have some decent players. They just can't seem to figure out a way to do it. Another team in that division with the Chiefs is now in a state of turmoil as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, John Gruden, out as of us recording this. This broke right as we started recording. And
well, we were about to hit record, yeah, and I got a text from my wife's uncle, and immediately I was calling I just didn't believe it.
Well, it's one of those, don't you do this every time, right? Somebody hits you up with a text and says something. And the first thing I do is I go online. I was like, I need a second source. Yeah. Maybe it's...
Was that TMZ? That's what I always say. I'm like,
it's like, I need my old journalist chops come out. I was like, I need a second source. Can't run the story till I get a second source. But then you go on Twitter, you find the Tom Pelissero report and Adam Schefter in his way reporting that Tom Pelissero reported that John Gruden was out.
So
and then added his own little thing.
Help me pronounce this word. So we got use of racist.
Misogynistic. So that's like being a male
anti-women.
Shirt. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I know what that is. I honestly didn't know that's how you spell it.
Misogynistic, yeah.
Wow.
So you've heard it. And you just didn't know how to say it. Didn't know what
I've never seen it.
There's honestly still some words out there like that where I'll read it and I'll be like, what is that?
That's
and
then what it says now.
There was one a couple days ago, not even, that somebody said it out loud. I was like, in my mind, I was like, oh, that's how you say that?
Really? Okay. Well, then I feel better because I've heard that word 2,000 times, right, if not more.
Yeah.
And then
your wife talking to you,
I already knew in this context what it meant.
Yes.
But I was like, man, what is that one?
I need backup.
What's that long for?
So what do the Raiders do from here? Like they've lost two in a row after the great start. Now they're on to a backup head coach, and I didn't see who was going to get promoted.
I don't know
interim.
If they've announced yet.
Is it the OC? They go Greg Olson.
Happened.
I mean,
John Gruden's son. What's his name?
Deuce Gruden. Yeah, that probably wouldn't go over all that well.
No. He's gone too.
But in a division, right? That we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, how the West were the two most interesting divisions, the NFC and the AFC West, and it felt like every team in the AFC West was good. Because at that point, you were sitting there looking at like, okay, like everybody had a winning record. You could honestly talk yourself into any one of the four teams winning the division. Feels like the Raiders are at a reckoning point here, and we're only five games into the season. You lose two in a row. You lose your head coach. You're still technically higher than the Chiefs in the standings right now, but you've got situations where the Chargers are good. I think the Broncos are coming back down to earth, but you know the Chiefs are going to get better. I mean, have the Raiders once again played themselves in a way out of being competitive in the division, does it feel like?
They were a team that didn't seem legit when it was happening. I mean, I like their pass rush. I like their quarterback. That division's so tough. I don't see them hanging around much longer. This one's going down they're going to be in the top 10 of the draft next year for how well they started, where people were saying, wait a minute, are they going to win the division? I'm starting to think they're not going to win many more games, let alone.
Yeah, it depends. I guess you have a team that could either sort of rally around a situation, right? Like look at what happened with UConn, to flip it back over to college football briefly. Like you see where Randy Edsall resigns, the team obviously was not really buying into what Edsall was doing, but it was able to take the interim and kind of rally around the fresh voice and the new, and were actually playing much more competitive than they were before. You know, still not winning games, but But you know, I could see the Raiders maybe finding a little like, hey, you know what? We've got each other. That's all we need. Let's go ahead and find a way to do this.
So I'll tell you, that's a very, very intriguing job to take over. They have a QB. They have a running back. They have receivers. They have a D-line. There's a lot of talent in Las Vegas. They're not that far off from
competing. You think Urban's making phone calls?
Yeah.
Hey, Urban, can you trade me? Can you trade me?
We didn't talk about that last week. That's a whole nother.
No, yeah. We don't need to beat a dead horse
it's
on
way
that
over,
one. But
way overdue now. We're not going to get into it. But
by the way, can I, just while we're on the subject, the latest Urban quote was talking about Trevor being able to put it, come from behind. He wanted to see a situation where he could have the ball in his hands to lead a game-winning drive. He's like, we all want to see it. The 904 wants to see it. And I was just like, stop trying to make fetch happen, Urban. Like, you're not a Jacksonville.
You said this. You pointed this out.
What are we? Jacksonvillians? Jacksonvilleites? You should probably know that. Jacksons. That's what we are.
Are we?
Jacksons, I believe. Oh. He's not a Jackson. So stop pretending to be one. I said this weeks ago.
Yeah. No, you said it on this podcast.
Yes.
You said, stop trying to act like you care about us or one of us.
No.
Yeah.
No, he sucks. And everybody that forgot that he sucked has been reminded in the last week that he sucks. And then,
as a human being.
Yes.
Mainly.
And right now, he sucks as a football coach because his team's 0-5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's really no denying he is literally the worst head football coach in the NFL, or tied for the worst of all time, because he hasn't won a game. So until he figures out how to do that, he's all around sucks.
They're starting to show a little bit of improvement over there, though.
Yeah, but now they were doing that over the course of the first couple of weeks. Like, week one was obviously a disaster, and they're kind of getting better and better through the Cincinnati loss. But then this past week is just like, okay, find more ways to not do the same things. And they're not on the same page. He comes out in a press conference and talks about how they don't run QB sneaks because Trevor's not comfortable. And then Trevor comes out and goes, yeah, I'm perfectly comfortable running QB sneaks.
Right.
It's like, can't we get the messaging straight?
Yeah.
No, there's got bad leadership.
Well, you know why? Because these conversations aren't being had.
Right. He's lying.
Right.
But doesn't realize in the pros, in which everyone meets with the media, you can't just make stuff up because somebody's going to ask a player about it.
Right. So at Ohio State,
he's the only one that talks.
Right. And he can control.
He controls the entire message.
Yeah, exactly. It's really interesting how poorly he's doing. You know, this is one of those experiments that he was like, oh, it's football. I'll just go coach it at the pro level.
Oh, he thought it was turnkey. He thought he's going to show up with the number one overall pick and create a culture. And then it's just funny because, like, I don't know, maybe it's just hindsight right now looking at it, but like, out of all dudes to be a culture guy, I never felt like that's how Urban won. Urban won because he was a very good offensive mind and he hired great coaches and empowered those really good coaches that have gone on to do good things at other places and in other elements of the industry. But I never viewed him as a culture guy. And then he comes in and tries to be a culture guy. And well, I mean, that's not who he is.
It's not working out either. So we'll see. There's something that's going to have to happen. And you know, he's the happiest guy in the league right now, though, because all the pressure's off.
Right,
him.
Right. After a week in which no one could talk about anything other than him, now he's got someone else who's the latest newsmaker.
He probably hired someone to leak these emails. He's like, go find more, please. He's like, he
dig
definitely,
this out.
There's got to be more than just one racist comment. Please keep digging.
Yeah, yeah.
Hired a private
investigator. Find something. Yeah. There's something about Mary. He's just like trying to find. It's got Matt Dillon on the case. I want to go over to the NFC West real quick. The Arizona Cardinals, who I think you might have thought were fraudulent a couple weeks ago, are still
not
undefeated.
Fraudulent.
Not the best team in the division.
That's right.
But they are, cemented themselves currently as the unquestioned best team in the division.
They beat the Rams straight up that weekend that I said so.
Yep.
So.
And they have since beat the 49ers as well. And boy, the 49ers are a group. Does it feel like there's some bad juju or something there? Like, they cannot keep a QB healthy. They can't do it. Trey Lance comes in for the injured Jimmy Garoppolo and immediately gets injured. Now he's got a knee injury and he's out for a couple of weeks.
I thought he was playing this week.
I thought he was out for like 4 to 5 weeks or something.
Wow. Okay. Well, I haven't read on it, so we'll have to look that up. I can
double check that.
While you look that up, I mean, think about what happened to them last year. Solomon Thomas, Joey Bosa. They had so many guys get injured. What's the other Bosa's name?
Joey and Nick.
Nick?
Okay. Nick Bosa plays for the
Chargers.
Chargers, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so I got them right. But yeah, they had Bosa get injured. They had like 4 or 5 guys last year. Season ender.
Lance is doubtful for week 7 against the Colts as of this point. So it's just one of those where the 1 year that they have had the QB healthy the whole year, they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Every other year, Kyle Shanahan's had to plug and try to reinvent things.
Well, don't forget, their starting running back got hurt, then their backup got hurt.
Yeah.
So they can't stay healthy there.
They have some tough luck.
Do they need a new strength and conditioning coach or something? Like,
I think it's that stadium, man. Remember when they first opened it? And like there was just like holes in the field everywhere. Maybe there's problems there. But
I don't feel like people get hurt playing there, right? All of the
it's not as notorious as Washington, like FedEx.
Well, last year MetLife Stadium, they had 2 players tear their ACL on MetLife, and I remember the
bad
coach,
turf.
Yeah, I mean he came out and complained about it against the Giants, and they were playing at the same stadium for the Jets the next week, and they're like, we're debating not playing.
Right, I forgot about that. Yeah, it's just been a tough stretch for them. The Cardinals, I mean, can you imagine, I don't know, fast forward to February, and we're looking at an Arizona-Buffalo Super Bowl? I mean, people will still watch because it's a Super Bowl, but the casual fan is not going to be quite as invested in that one.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one to sign me up for. The Bills, they do have that draw, though, just because of the Bills. Their fan base is so crazy.
And there's some element to, like, then you get to dig out the the late 80s, early 90s, and just keep telling those stories for a couple of weeks. It's like, all right, first time back since they lost 4 consecutive Super Bowls. Like, that's almost not talked about enough, how absurd that is. How they were literally, arguably, the best franchise in football for that stretch, and they have no trophies to show for
it. A dynasty with nothing to show.
With no Lombardi trophies, at least, to show for it. And then the Cardinals, I mean, they were one unbelievable throw and catch from Big Ben to San Antonio Holmes away from winning a Super Bowl with Kurt Warner and company back in, 2010, 2009? It was 2008.
Have you ever heard of the All Things Covered podcast with Peterson and Bryant McFadden? Patrick Peterson, Bryant McFadden?
No.
Not to sell another podcast on our podcast, but
bold move.
One time I was out of podcasts to listen to, and I was like, oh, they're interviewing Anquan Boldin. I'll listen to this. And they talked to him a ton about FSU. You'll love that. Mm. But then they talked to him about the Cardinals. And that year he said, when the Cardinals played the Steelers in the Super Bowl, he was like, they got out on us early. We had a turnover at pick 6, and then we came all the way back, and we were literally a pass away from winning.
I mean, the Larry Fitzgerald catch and run touchdown down the middle, and
that felt like it.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, wow, the Arizona Cardinals are going to win the Super Bowl. How crazy is that? And then, I mean, the moment that cemented Big Ben, his sort of postseason legacy, if you will. Because they had won the other Super Bowl, and he was more of a bystander than a leader in that one. I mean, there were wide receivers throwing touchdowns in that game, but that was his moment.
Antoine Randall.
Yes, for those wondering at home, that was big. It feels like there's parity in the NFL too, in a way. Like, you know, every year we see you see a team like the Chiefs come along, right? They get good. They win a Super Bowl. They go back to one. You're like, who's going to beat the Chiefs every year? Who's going to beat the Bucks? And like, that's not to say that those teams still couldn't go to a Super Bowl and win it again. But like, it's so funny how you sit there at the beginning of the year and just like, I just can't see anybody who might beat these. And then inevitably, some of these other teams come up out of, it's just how it works.
I really hope the Chiefs don't make it, which it looks like we're on a good path for.
Yeah.
But I'm also,
like, at this point, they're not even in the playoffs, so.
Bucks, everything. No, wait, the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, they wouldn't be in the playoffs if the season ended today.
Yeah. Good point. No Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now either.
Yeah, they're Tyree banged up
Kill
too.
Banged up. Yeah, they're getting it pretty good. And then the Bucks, that defense is absolutely injured.
They were the most fortunate as far as injuries were concerned of like anyone last year. They had like some ungodly number of snaps played by their starting defensive players. Like their starting 11 played like 95% of the snaps that they were eligible for health wise last year, whatever it was. Like it was some absurd number like that. Like literally no one got hurt. They were able to play the same starters all year long. And that consistency is what fueled that defense, who was a tremendous run throughout the playoffs and beyond.
Their secondary is so banged up.
But you know that like that's not sustainable. Like you can't there's no way to go from year to year and be like, and we're turning injuries off again. Like it's not Madden. So you know that there's just going to be some natural give back on that. And they're seeing the unfortunate side effects of that now. And yeah, they're just signing dudes off the street to play in the secondary right now. Richard Sherman a week ago. And
they're like, you're not that arrest. You good? Is that,
yeah. Are you allowed to travel?
Yeah. That was their whole thing. And then they're, oh yeah, it got dropped. So we'll go ahead and play you immediately. We'll sign you on a Thursday. You'll play on Sunday. You'll start on Sunday.
Crazy stuff. But hey, we're rolling along football halfway through the month of October. It has been fun so far. We hope that both leagues continue to stay fun as far as the product on the field. Obviously, the product off the field has been, distracting at times. To steal an Urban Meyer quote, the distraction that was last week. And now I'm sure John Gruden, same deal. What do you say we pivot to our top three for the week? Actually, before we do that, I'm going to bring back an old deal here. Haven't done this segment in a while.
What do we got?
NASCAR quote of the week.
Oh, wow.
So you might notice.
This was a quarantine.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Thing. I feel like during very beginning of COVID, we did this.
Right. Because like NASCAR is one of the few sports that was actually like going on. So I was sort of making it happen, even if you were somewhat, yeah, I guess you were coming along for the ride with me, but you weren't exactly willingly on the ride with me, not to make a pun about driving and stuff. But I'm wearing my Chase Elliott shirt. He comes up advancing yesterday to the second to last round in the NASCAR playoffs, despite getting wrecked intentionally by Kevin Harvick yesterday at the Charlotte Roval.
I feel like Harvick does that quite a bit.
Yeah, so they have a beef, right? They have a beef.
We did that to Logano.
Yeah.
Three seasons ago.
So Elliott wrecked. They've had a beef going for a while. Most recently, Elliott wrecked Harvick while he was leading at Bristol earlier in this playoff cycle. And it was a very big deal. And they ended up coming to words afterward. And then Harvick admitted that he intentionally wrecked Elliott at this point and damaged his car. And he had to kind of come from behind. But he was actually closing in on Harvick late. And I don't know if Harvick saw a lot of the nine in his rearview mirror, but he ends up going a little too hard into the corner and just plow straight into the wall and cost him a spot in the playoffs. He got eliminated yesterday, Sunday afternoon in Charlotte. And you know, after the race, he said something along the lines of like, you know, we all have to, it's important to learn lessons in the real world or something like that, which I think was meant for Chase. But if you looked in the mirror, that might've been a good one for himself too. But so they asked Chase about it afterward. And he said, I'd like to wish Kevin Harvick a merry off season and a happy Christmas. And so that's my NASCAR quote of the week. And it's just funny because it's so weird. Like the dynamic and the age difference. Like Kevin Harvick was 20 years old when Chase Elliott was born. Like this is like an adult and a kid kind of deal.
Having a fight.
Yeah. Right. And the kid is the one who's like ready for the fight to be over. And the adult's keep dragging it out.
Mature about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy, but had to bring that back. All right. We're speaking of bringing it back after a week hiatus, we're bringing back the pick three. And this is one that sort of came a brainchild of yours. We're talking about jerseys that we owned, and we're going to rank our three favorite that we have owned over the years. I don't know where you are in the jersey train these days, Alex. I am to the point now where I feel like I'm over the age of 30. And so unless I want to be that guy, I'm probably not going to buy and wear jerseys anymore. I have a couple of NBA jerseys that I wear sort of ironically to the beach. Not even ironically. It's just because I like to wear them as like tank top type things. I'll wear them, say, on a hot day, something like that. But I am not like going out to buy the latest Jaguar jersey to wear to the bank on Sundays. That's just not where I'm at in my life. Now, you know, to each their own. Other people do it. That's fine. I'm not telling them. It's just where I view myself. So
are these jerseys we've owned of any sport?
Any sport. Yeah. Jerseys? We got to go across the board.
Okay.
Cause I'm going,
we drop in like
everything.
The coolest, or what about a t-shirt jersey?
A jersey. Yeah. Yeah, sure. If it does have a number and a name on the back.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We can
count all right. I'll put that in as a honorable mention.
So yeah. I think we will go across all sports, all jerseys. And you know, I always tell you, you could start. So I'm going to start this time. Hey, do we want to go all three in a row, or? Or how do we want to do this?
Do all three. Give me your list, and then we'll save honorable mentions a group effort later.
My list is the first jersey I ever got is first on my list, and that was a Jaguars Mark Brunell jersey. Got it for Christmas when I was 7, and it was a big deal. I had just started to kind of get into the Jaguars and pro football. I was more of an NBA guy and a college football guy at that point. Much more so, but the Jags have been good. If you recall, 96, make the playoffs, AFC championship game, 97, we're pretty darn good too. And so I was like, all right, yeah, let's do it. So I got a Brunell jersey, proudly wore it to school multiple times. And that was my very first jersey I ever owned. And so it has a special place.
There's a picture of me in a Brunell jersey. I have one as well. Can't beat that, but I had one of those old school little kid ones that are like cloth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking
about. Like the cloth ones with the plastic letters.
Yeah.
Or numbers, I mean.
The one that you get with the pad and the helmet set. Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. My number two is one, ironically, that I got in college. And you wouldn't think that this would be one that I would put at the top of the list, but...
Oh, let me guess it.
Go ahead.
Is this the Peter Warwick one?
No. That's a good jersey. I do have that jersey. I have a Peter Warwick Bengals jersey. Yes. Shout out to my friend and former roommate Tom for gifting that to me the day that he left to go back to New Jersey after we graduated. I still have that jersey. Yes. My choice was actually one that got picked up by a friend at a garage sale or a yard sale, or I don't know what you would call it, on campus. They did it on campus. And, I bought it off. He bought it for $2. I bought it off him for $3, so he made a profit. But a Penny Hardaway jersey, magic. And I'd never had one. So this sort of ties into my first one, because my best friend in first grade, he had a Penny Hardaway jersey. And I had got the Mark Brunell jersey. And then I was like, I want the Penny jersey. And he was like, and I want the Brunell jersey. So he ended up getting a Brunell jersey, and I never got the Penny jersey. And I was so bummed out about that. And so it took me years. I mean, from the time I was, 6 until the time I was 19, or 18 or 19, and I finally got that Penny Hardaway jersey. So that was one that I wore very proudly, still wear, in fact. And that one's great because Penny was my first favorite professional athlete, certainly. And then my last one on this list, and this was a tough one, trying to figure out, like, all right, I've had a lot of different ones. These are fun. I have quite a few NBA jerseys that are good. But when I got my first Florida State jersey, and it was Greg Jones when I got it. And then we turned it into Willie Jones Jr. Yep. And then whoever else was wearing six after that. Yep. We just kept advancing.
And we'd wear it on the game days together. Yep. Remember, we'd be like, bring your Willie Jones jersey.
Yep, exactly.
Willie Jones Jr., and defensive end.
So that number 6, Florida State, which was my one, I think it's the only Florida State jersey I ever had. I really wanted to work done when I was in elementary school. I was really in a jersey phase in first grade, obviously. But one of my classmates had a work done with the real clean neck pattern, if you remember that, from those like mid-90s jerseys. Oh, man, those were great. But that's my three. So I'm going Mark Brunell Jags, Penny Hardaway Magic, And then Greg Jones, Florida State, is my favorite three jersey.
So I've been looking through my photos to try and find the picture that I was telling you about where I'm in that Mark Brunell jersey. So I respect that one, too. I don't know how to find anything anymore, but I have a old school 1990s Warwick Dunn, the exact one you're talking about.
Yes.
Warwick Dunn jersey, and I can't find it anywhere, but it is somewhere, and I'm going to find it for you and send it to you in a couple days for sure. All right. Mine.
We'll post it on the account.
One of my, it's of Beckett. Yeah, we could. One of my craziest jerseys that I always wish I kept, because I think I brought it up maybe on this podcast, just because I like it so much. I had an old purple Randy Moss Puma jersey.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
It was awesome. And once I grew out of it, I had no use for it. There it is.
Ooh, yeah, that looks
good.
So
this, I found the jersey for Scott. This was mine as a child. Warwick Dunn,
yep.
1990s, old school Charlie Ward era.
Yeah, like, that's like a 1996 jersey right
that's
there.
That's it, right yeah. there. With that that's old awesome. Feathering on the logo, I mean, on the neck, everything. That jersey's awesome. So my number two ties into this as well, and I'm going to pair them all three together. I had this Warwick Dunn 1996 Seminole jersey. I had a, and still have, his Buccaneers jersey.
Nice.
And I had his Falcons jersey.
Wow.
So if it doesn't tell you how my dad felt about, yeah, my dad was like, oh, you want a jersey? I know who to give you. The best player ever. My dad's favorite player of all time.
I had a Warwick Dunn Bucks shirt. So it was like Warwick Dunn was featured on the shirt.
Okay.
And I think my brother and I both had one of those.
I had, and you'll remember this probably, I had a Willie Parker.
Yes, I remember
that. Do you
that.
Remember that? Yeah. Fast Willie?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember I got old enough where I remember someone, I can't remember who it was, an older gentleman who was a family friend, was like, hey, you might not want to wear that as you keep getting older. And I was like, I don't get it. Because it said Fast Willie right. Parker. And it says Fast Willie, and at the bottom says yeah. like Willie Parker, Go Steelers or yeah. something. Classic. It was mustard yellow. Horrendous shirt, but classic. That might be my random name of the night.
There you go. Willie Parker. Yeah. All right, wait, you got some honorable mentions here?
Well, my third, I guess.
Oh, no, you haven't been good in your third. I apologize. Jumping the gun.
No, that's okay. I had a Darrell Armstrong Magic, point guard for the Magic.
Boy, that is random.
Isn't that random?
Very random.
I remember just being like, Armstrong, like I wish I had Hardaway. I remember one of my cousins got it for me when I was little. They'd always, and I got a Magic basketball too. So that one, those are the ones that come to mind, but the one I wanted to tell you about, I love random stuff looking back at it. Pittsburgh Pirates Terzi or whatever you call it.
Shirzy?
I'm yep. gonna call it Terzi.
Okay.
Shirzy, though, for you.
Shirt jersey, yeah.
Brian Giles, Pittsburgh Pirates.
Pirates legend, Brian Giles, yes.
Let's go.
Probably a one-time All-Star.
Yeah, well, and we traded him away and he got
yeah.
better. I mean,
yeah.
He was good with us, and then we
usually how it goes with the Pirates, unfortunately.
It's our favorite thing to do. Yeah. But, yeah, I had that one, and had a Polamalu jersey, one of my favorite players of all time. That one's mm-hmm. not random. That one mm-hmm. is just like, hey, I got to have a Polamalu jersey because he's the best.
I got into, like, the NBA jerseys in college or, like, late high school. Yeah, it was in college. I never owned an NBA jersey prior to that. And I got one. The first like big one I got was a Kevin Durant Supersonics jersey.
I remember that yeah. one. And when you said college earlier, that was the one I thought you yep. were talking about. And then I remembered you had a Peter Wark jersey, which
yes.
I mean that can't be.
That's an honorable mention. Peter Wark Bengals.
P Dub. That's yeah. That's
phenomenal. Phenomenal. Certainly. I had a Greg Jones Jaguars jersey, which I proudly wore.
Where
for many years. I think I still have it somewhere. It's in storage. Maybe I'll break it out again one day for a game or day drinking or something along those lines.
You need to get that one back.
Yeah, yeah.
Greg Jones. I wish yep. I had one of those.
I had a Mike Hollis jersey as tied. That was the Jaguars kicker, for those that are not abreast of Jacksonville Jaguars history. For the basically the time the franchise started until like 2000, 2001. And through 2002, I think it was. And for Halloween, and when I was in third grade, I was going to be a Jaguars player for Halloween because we had just moved back to Jacksonville. First Halloween in Jacksonville as a Jags fan, big deal.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And
I can see that.
I was like, all right, got to go as a Jags player. And I mean, this is 1998. I mean, Jags are like in their peak. And so my mom goes to get jerseys, and she's like, who do you want? They have Mike Hollis and they have Tony Baselli.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, I cannot wear an offensive lineman's uniform. So you're like, I was like, give me the kicker.
Were you a kicker fan back then, too?
I mean, I played soccer, so I appreciated the element of kicking a ball, and I sort of knew people with my body type were kickers a lot of times because I was a thin kid even back then. But, so I had a Mike Hollis jersey and respect to the kickers. I should have gotten a Josh Scobie jersey years later. That'd have been
You should have stuck with that. You could have gone. Lambo had a nice little stretch.
Yeah, he did.
Not so much anymore.
But
yeah, I can't remember any others. For some reason, I'm almost like I remember I had one more that was a random team jersey that I really liked. And I can't remember what it was, and it's killing me right now. But I did have the Ernie Sims jersey, 34. At Florida State.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yes. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I have any more random ones. I mean, the basketball ones are probably the most random. Darren Williams, Jazz, Kemba Walker, Bobcats.
Oh, you have that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Wow, you did go through a jersey
phase. Yeah, I did. Well, I would go on Amazon, and I would go to the kids' jerseys, and then like a kid's extra large fit fine. And so I would buy kids extra larges because it would always be significantly cheaper than like any adult jersey. And then I would go through.
Jerseys always run big anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So
I had a Leon Washington 3. That's a classic.
That is a good one.
Iron roll.
That is a good one. All right. Well, you guys let us know your favorite jerseys that you have owned over the years. Maybe you're still buying them and maybe you're still wearing them. And if so, let us know because everybody has had a jersey at least at some point in their lives. All right. I think it's about time to wrap this thing up. Don't you think so? I don't have a trivia question this week. Mea culpa, but I apologize. I just couldn't find a good one. So I don't have one for
That's
us to
right.
wrap up with.
You save it till you have a good one, but I have been liking it. I don't know if our listeners do, but I love it. So next week you owe me.
All right. I do.
You know what we haven't done in a while is go play trivia.
True.
We used to do that.
Yeah, we did.
Back when I was single. God. Families.
How things have changed. Yeah. Man.
Well, I don't know.
Well, we'll put it on the docket for,
I could
for
do that.
An upcoming Tuesday or Wednesday night or something along those lines.
I think they do Thursday trivia up at V's, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, well, maybe we'll do it then.
We'll make it happen.
Up my neck of the woods. But shall we get out of here? We named already a lot of random names, but I guess we can throw one more out there to get out of here.
You go ahead. I had one on the tip of my tongue earlier, and I got it. I heard it on the radio, so I'm cheating, but y'all didn't hear it, maybe. Tyler Palco. They said it
the
on
the former Pitt QB.
Yeah.
Played for the Chiefs and the Saints for a
nicely
hot
done.
Minute. Yeah.
That's correct, Scott.
Yeah. Lefty.
I got another because I was thinking of quarterbacks and prior to Drew Brees at the Saints. And I randomly thought about how number two,
I knew you were going here. Yep.
And Aaron Brooks.
Yep.
Wow,
yep.
You did know where I was going.
I knew exactly where
Aaron Brooks, Mike Vick's first cousin, maybe not first, I'm now lying. Mike Vick's cousin, fact, both out of Virginia. People say he was the other Aaron Brooks, Allen Iverson, and Mike Vick were the best guys to come
They all Newport News guys?
All Newport News guys.
Yeah.
Big time.
All right, that's a lot to live up to. I'll go, man. I feel like I need to throw out a random QB as well.
Please do.
How about I had a good one, and now, all right, Todd Reesing.
Vikings?
No. Did not play in the pros. God, I hope I got his name right.
I was going to say, did this just turn into trivia and I'm supposed to be guessing? Or are you like
Todd,
building up?
Todd Reesing, I do believe.
Building up the suspense here?
I got this right. Todd Reesing, football player. Yeah. So he was Kansas's QB the last time they were good. That 08 season when Kansas
that's right.
went to the Orange Bowl.
Yep.
And he was like 5'10".
With Fangino or what was
no,
his name?
No, yeah. Mark Mangino.
Mangino, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like 5'10".
I got Vic. Yeah.
He and Chase Daniel were like the king of the 5'10 QBs that year.
Reesing, that's right.
The biggest game of college, one of the biggest games of college football that year was Missouri-Kansas. They were like top five in the nation when they played each other. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
We're talking about how this year's crazy. That was a moment in 08.
Well, while we're doing QB names, a guy that I always think of you when I hear his name, and I haven't heard his name in years, Drew Tate.
Drew Tate, yeah. Speaking of Iowa.
You used to always reenact Iowa's Hail Mary.
Yeah, well.
Was that against LSU?
Why does it feel like Capital One Bowl. Yeah, I believe it was against LSU.
That's right.
My brother and I actually did like the – that I believe was on – I think you made that in your mount or your quarantine draft of calls.
I did.
Yeah, you pulled that one.
That's right. That was the last time I've said that name.
It was Gary Thorne who had the broadcast, I remember, and the longtime voice of the Baltimore Orioles and longtime voice of hockey on ESPN, which, by the way, when people are listening to this, hockey's back and on ESPN. Again, but Gary Thorne, unfortunately, not serving as the play-by-play voice. I did not see who's going to be the lead play-by-play voice of hockey on ESPN going forward. I mean, ever since Doc Emmerich retired, it's like, who's going to be the voice of hockey? But now with ESPN and Turner having the rights to it, I guess we'll have a lot of new people broadcasting hockey. But go Wild. I'll end with that.
Go Penguins. Penguins play. I do know one thing about hockey. Penguins play the Lightning, almost called them the Rays because we're watching the Rays game, but they play the Lightning tomorrow.
The Limebucking Rays. Yeah, on Tuesday night to open up the season on ESPN. How about that?
All right, we'll see you later, listeners. We're out of here.
We are dragging this out, really dragging this out. For Alex, I'm Scott. This has been another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast.